Well, I am blessed to conclude our series on Never Forget the One. I've enjoyed the pastor's message on Never Forget the One. I don't know about you, but it sure has inspired me and fired me up to get out there and win the lost, go after the ones that have been forgotten and pushed to the side. Just last month, I saw online a story that really kind of piqued my attention and went right along with what Dad's been talking about. And it was about a cruise ship that was sailing out of Galveston, Texas, and it was going down into the Caribbean. I think we have the article we could put up there. And it was going down to the Caribbean on a vacation, but as they were on their way, the captain received this distress signal from a boat that had lost power, had some sort of mechanical failure, was just kind of floating adrift, lost at sea out there with no hope of being saved. But the captain of this cruise ship, what a great guy, he heard the distress signal, and he steered that whole cruise ship off its course. They were, I'm sure, not very happy about that. But it went off its course, picked up those four people, rescued them, brought them on board, took them to the med bay, and checked them all out, made sure they were okay. And just a really cool story. He rescued them, right? Well, afterwards, they were interviewing the captain. They said, man, this is so awesome that you do something like this. You're such a self-sacrificing captain. Oh, we love it. And he said, oh, no, don't you understand? He said, it's actual maritime law that if we as the captain of one of these ships, we hear a distress signal, or we get a message that someone is lost or they're floating out there at sea, we have to leave our course, we have to set down what we're doing, and we have to go save them. And I thought right then about Pastor's message. I thought about what God's called. We have been given a commission. We've been given an order as well. That when you and I hear about someone that's lost, someone that's hurting, right? Someone that's far away from the life-saving grace of Christ, that we're to reach out and go after them. We're to put down what we're doing. Maybe we're on a course for something. But what matters most is that lost life that's floating adrift, right, in the world today. Mark 16, verses 15 through 16 is the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And this is interesting to me because this is one of the last things that Jesus says to his disciples before he goes back up into heaven. So would you say that's pretty important? Yeah. Come on, Church of the Rock. Would you say that's important? One of the last things you say? And think about this. He didn't say, guys, don't worry about this. I'm going to send a fleet of angels, you know, maybe 100,000 angels, and they're going to go around and tell my story to everybody. They're going to go out there and share the gospel. Did you notice he didn't do that? He could have said, you know, remember back there in the book of Daniel when I had that big hand come on the wall and it wrote some words on the wall and everybody was like, ooh and ah. He didn't say, I'm going to go do that everywhere, have these big hands write the gospel out so people could see, did he? No, he said the way that I'm going to share with the lost, share the gospel, is through you. It's through people. It's through each and every one of you guys sharing your story, sharing the gospel. Romans 1 verse 21, Paul says he shares the gospel through the foolishness of preaching. I don't know why God did it that way, but guess what? He chose you. And you might be scared. You might say, Daniel, preach. Oh my gosh, I can't preach like pastor. I can't preach like these guys we see on YouTube that have these massive churches. That word could better be translated proclaim. Look at your neighbor and say proclaim. What he's asking you to do is just tell somebody. It doesn't got to be fancy. It doesn't got to be with lights. It doesn't got to be from behind a pulpit. You just need to tell somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, tell somebody. You just need to proclaim. So the big idea today is that God's primary way of reaching the lost is through us. Do you understand that? These seats, how they're gonna get full is not by having better music. Dude, is anybody here today? These seats are not gonna get full by a better preaching, better lights, better parking. These seats are going to get full because of us. Amen. Give yourselves a hand clap. You'd be surprised. Each and every week, I don't know if you knew this, but Dad sends a personal guest video to every single person that visits Church of the Rock. They get a personal little text video. the pastor just welcoming them here to the church family. But as we do these videos, on the little paper that we fill out, it has on there the reason why they came to COTR. And do you know what the overwhelming majority of the reason is that they came to COTR? Someone invited them. It's not a billboard. It's not our online services. It's not lights, fog, music. None of that stuff. It's because somebody cared enough to invite them. So my challenge is to you, we're coming up on Easter this week. Guess what? That person that just been a thorn in your side, it's up to you. Invite them. That family member that you think there's no hope for, the gospel comes through you. God's looking at you. You're the answer. So invite them this week. Now you still might be sitting back and saying, Daniel, I don't know. Just sharing the gospel. I don't really have a theological grasp of the Bible. I get scared whenever I try to talk about spiritual things, so I just avoid it. Well, let me tell you, I feel the same way many times. So I thought today, as we conclude this series, that we would take a look at the master communicator, the master evangelizer, Jesus, and we see how he witnessed to people and how he shared the gospel, and maybe we could pull out a few things that we could use and help us along our way. Does that sound good? Okay, so there's going to be a lot of scripture here. We're going to look at the lady at the well. Do you remember when Jesus ministered to the lady at the well in John chapter 4? And we're going to go verse by verse and try to pull out some things that could possibly help us, motivate us, and help things go smoother as we share our faith this week, right? Everyone say this week. All right, so here we go. Sharing the gospel the Jesus way. Number one, you want to share with care. Let's all say that together. Share with care. John 4, verses 3 through 6. Let's go ahead and start reading here. It says, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So the first thing I want you to understand here, you see that verse right there, and if you have a King James version, it'll actually say he needs to go, but it says there, verse 4, but he needed to go. Did you all see that? It's right there on the screen, I think. But he needed to go. The first thing that you and I need to have to reach the lost is we need to have a sincere burden for the lost. What do you mean, Daniel? A burden? That's weird. A burden is kind of like this, it's a phrase that a lot of old revivalists, they used to use, old ministers back in the time. It's kind of this uneasiness. It's an urgency that Christians would have when they would think about friends, family, coworkers that they knew were lost. They had this, this tugging from the Spirit on the inside that just wouldn't let them rest until they won that person to the Lord, until they saw that person give their heart to Jesus. And a lot of Christians today, we have no clue what that is. We have we don't even know how to relate to that at all. But as you look through scripture, Romans chapter 9 is a really good one. Paul, he actually says right there in the scripture, he says, you know, I would actually be accursed and I would be condemned to hell myself if all my brothers and my Jewish brothers and sisters could be saved. That's a burden. What he's saying is I would give up my eternity with God that they all could be saved. It's this tugging, it's this nagging, it's this, oh God, I can't see that person go to hell. You have this reality of eternity. You're not just going to work every day. You're not just watching reels on YouTube every night. You're not just, you know, sitting around just going about your business, but you realize that you've left here to make a difference in eternity. I was thinking, Dad and Stephen and I, we were on this trip up in Alaska as kind of a guy's trip, how we like to do usually once a year. And we did it kind of last second. We decided to go hiking and do, you know, go see Denali and Mount McKinley and all that stuff. And one of the days we were hiking, just I wasn't thinking at all, but I was being noisy and just yapping away, probably telling a story. we're going around this corner, and these two older women, you could tell were well-seasoned hikers. They had all their gear and everything. They walked up to me, and they looked at me in the face very troubled and very concerned. And they said, hey, I need you to keep it down. And I was like, who's this lady think she is? This is America. I can do whatever I want. So she's like, no. She said, just up there around the corner is a moose, just around the corner right there. And she said, you need to be really careful. And I was like, a moose? I laughed. The only moose that was Rocky and Bullwinkle growing up, Channel 11 in the afternoons, you know, like we'd watch these reruns of this stuff. And I was like, a moose? Why do I gotta? She said, no, don't you understand that there's more people killed from moose than bears in Alaska each year? I never knew that. So sure enough, I think a picture of one. This is what it looked like. It was sitting in the trees right there. And so, of course, Dad, Stephen, and I, we made our way around it. And I shut my big yap, and we were quiet as we went. But I thought later about that. She had enough concern. She had enough care. She wasn't just focused on herself. She could have left these three city guys get trampled by a moose or gored by those horns, but she took time out of her way to warn us and inform us of incoming doom, right? Upcoming doom, that was right there. Christian, who have you warned about the doom that's just ahead of them? Christian, who have you taken time out and let them know that there is a real hell, there is a real heaven, and that unless they know Jesus, they're on their way there? Leonard Ravenhill, in his book, Why Revival Tarries, he tells a story about a burglar, a criminal back in the 1800s England, and he was condemned to die, condemned to be executed. And back then, what they would do is as they walked you to the gallows, the priest would walk alongside of you, and he would basically kind of give you your last rites and share with you the gospel on your way to the gallows. So as he's on his way there, this priest is sharing with him about how terrible and hell is and why he needs to turn. And this is what Charles Peace said. He said, "Sir, if I believed what you and the Church of God say that you believe, even if England was covered with broken glass from coast to coast, I would walk over it, if need be, on hands and knees and think it worthwhile just to save one soul from eternal hell like that." You see what he was saying? He said, if hell's real, why aren't we out there letting the world know about it? God desires that all men should be saved. Did you know that? So when we talk about a burden, what we're saying is, God, I'm aligning my heart and my desires with your heart. I'm saying, God, the things that matter to you, which is souls, people don't want to hear it today. God wants us blessed, but he didn't leave us here to get blessed. He left us here to win the lost. He left us here to build his kingdom. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4 says he wants all people to be saved and all people to come to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says that he is not wanting anyone to perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. So before you can ever just start, you need to care. You need to truly care. Think about Jesus in this story here. He's going to Samaria. When you care, you get out of your comfort zone. I mean, have you ever seen a parent when something goes wrong with their kid, right? I mean, somebody messes with their kid, right? The parent will lose their mind, won't they? They'll act a fool because somebody was messing with the little Johnny. Why? Because they care. See, Jesus, he needed to go to Samaria. He cared, and what did he do? He was out of his comfort zone. Samaria and Jews had no dealings with each other. There was all kinds of racial prejudice there. She was actually coming at that time of the day, the middle of the day, because she was living in sin, and she didn't want any of the other women that came in the morning to talk about her or make remarks when she came. So she came at the middle of the day. So he was there talking to somebody probably not that living a good life, right? And then, not only that, he was talking to a woman. Back then, men and women did not just have conversation with each other. But he cared. And when you care, you move out of your comfort zone and you share the gospel. Number one, share with care. Number two, we see from this story, we want to share with skill. Everyone say, share with skill. Let's say it like we mean it, share with skill. All right, let's dive into the story. Here we go. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" There's the racial thing, right? Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And then the woman said, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Share with skill. The first thing I want you to notice here is, did you see Jesus came with humility? The disciples weren't even with him. And I think when you and I were sharing the gospel, we need to come with humility. We need to come not as I'm a Christian, I got the divine word and this and that, and I'm better than you. But we need to come at their level. So many Christians, when they're sharing the gospel, they make it a monologue where it's just them talking the entire time. Let me tell you about this. Here's this scripture. Here's that. Here's this. Here's this. But if you notice Jesus here, he makes it a dialogue. Do you see that? This is where care comes into play again. But if you and I want to win the lost, we need to ask questions. We need to have a dialogue. People love to talk about themselves. We need to go, we need to not just be there caring about what we're saying and getting a spiritual notch on our belt, but we need to share with skill. We need to have a dialogue. We're trying to win the soul, not just win an argument. We're trying to build bridges, not burn bridges. So we need to share with skill. Moving along, number three, you need to share according to the situation. Y'all ready to jump back in the scripture? Here we go. Jesus says to her, "Go call your husband and come here." I love this. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands." Yeah. "And the one whom you have now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worship." Now, notice this quick turn here in verse 20. "Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews," she's bringing up the racial stuff again, "say that in Jerusalem, in this place, that Jerusalem is where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Verse 23. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." Verse 24. "God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So here we go. Share according to the situation. Look at your neighbor and say, "Share according to the situation." I love this right here, because if you notice, when he shares the gospel, it's not some sort of robotic script that he goes through. Do y'all catch that right there? He's listening intently. He's asking questions, right? And then he's seeing how he can make the gospel the remedy for the problem she's facing. Are you following me? Okay, so what's she talking about? She's talking about men, right? She's talking about men. This woman, would you say she has a problem with men in relationships? Church, would you say she has a problem with men in relationships? She had five husbands. She's living with a dude right now. Okay, yes. Yeah. But what does Jesus do? Jesus is saying, "I see that you've tried to find your satisfaction, your fulfillment, your whole meaning in life in these relationships with men. I am the answer to that. The living water is the answer to that. What I bring can fix this problem. What I provide can give you the satisfaction, can give you the fulfillment that you need. So as we're sharing the gospel, that's what we need to be listening for. Do you see what I'm saying? If they talk about, I'm facing these problems, I have this hurt, this happened in my past, my father left me, this, that, we need to have open ears. And if we truly care, we'll be able to use the gospel to meet that need and be the remedy there. Does that make sense? The other thing I pointed out to you in verse 20, do you see here that she as soon as he starts talking about the men, she tries to take him off on a silly debate again about the racial stuff. Do you see this? Starts talking about the men, verse 20. She says, well, our fathers worshiped on this. Where did that come from? That had nothing. If you notice, a lot of times when you're sharing the gospel with people, as you start to get really close to the heart of the matter, they'll start bringing up some weird theological questions that they've had since they were like 4 years old, right? Well, that's great, but what about the dinosaurs? And who was Cain's wife? You know, and they just start going through this whole thing, right? They start kind of bringing up these silly kind of theological things. If you notice, Jesus answered her real quickly, and then he got right back onto the main point. That's what you and I want to do. Be very careful that you're not taking off down a rabbit trail that's going to get you off the main point and you're there for 4 hours. You want to answer them quickly. And guess what? If you don't have the answer, it builds trust to be authentic and say, I don't have the answer for that, but I'll find out. Next, number four, is you want to share your story. Look at your neighbor and say, share your story. Pastor's been talking about this the whole month. You see here, she does this. Let's look, John 4 and verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Verse 26, Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled because he was talking to a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot. She went into her city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came to him. You see, she told her story and all the men of the city, right, came out and saw Jesus. Right? Pastor showed us before what is we say who we were before we met Christ. We tell them how we met Christ. And then we talk about who we are now that we've met Christ and we have a thriving relationship with the Lord. It's so easy. You don't have to know a ton of scriptures. You don't got to know all these big words. You just need to tell your story. And do you see how simple she did it? It's just like one sentence, right? That's what we need to do. We need to make sure that we use simple, understandable words. A lot of Christians, they love to use this thing called Christianese. You ever heard of that before? Have you ever heard Christianese? Really sit back and kind of put yourself in the seat of a non-Christian person listening to us sometimes. You know, hey, brother, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you sanctified? Sister, are you justified? You see what I'm saying? Are you part of the body? Have you joined the body of Christ? Did you eat of his body? Did you drink of his blood? They are going to think you're some crazy cult. People, a lot of people don't even know when you say, are you saved? Saved from what? Saved from what? So when you tell your story, make sure that you speak in simple, understandable words. Don't exaggerate. Another thing that when I was in Bible college that my fellow classmates would do that just would irritate the fire out of me was they always made their past sound better than their present. You ever heard that before? Man, back in the day, I had like 12 cars and the parties. Oh, man, it was awesome. The drugs, all, you know, the drinking, all the women. I mean, there were celebrities there. It was, oh, gosh. And then I met Jesus. And I'm just so happy, so excited I did. He's changed my life for the better. I was blind, but now I see. Have you ever heard anybody do that? Do not do that. Realize what you're doing. That's your flesh talking. It's much better where we are now. Amen? Amen? Some of you are thinking right now. The other thing is make sure that your story always points to Christ. you don't want to, if you find yourself saying, and I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I did that, that's, you're missing the whole point of the whole thing. We're to point people to Jesus, right? If we lift him up, he's going to draw all men unto him. We don't got to do a thing if we point them all to him. So that's number four, share your story. Now as the team is getting ready to come up. Number five, make sure that you share the answer. Look at your neighbor and say, share the answer. Look at the other neighbor and say, share the answer. I love, jumping back just a bit here in John 4, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he's going to tell us all things. Verse 26, I love it. Jesus said, I who speak to you am he. I am the answer, Jesus says. Jesus says, I am the answer. And so I want to encourage you, a lot of times, you know, as we're ministering to people, we get caught up in a lot of different things, and we're talking to them, we're listening to their story, and we get to the end, and for some reason or another, we miss the whole point, which is to come to that question that points them to the answer. Would you like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Let's just try it. Say it to somebody next to you. Would you like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Say it to the other person on the other side. Would you like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I mean, that was pretty simple, right? There's nothing to freak out about right there. It's so simple. You don't got to know scriptures. You don't got to know anything. Then if they say yes, which they're going to say yes, what you're going to do then is you're going to lead them in a simple prayer. And it's a prayer, right, that we should, first off, in that prayer, there should be a confession of sin, right? I know I'm a sinner. God, I know I messed up. I know that I've fallen short. And then the prayer should recognize Jesus, who he is, that he was God's son, that he died on the cross for my sin to pay the price, and that he rose again on the third day. And then next, there needs to be some sort of commitment in that prayer, right, where you say, God, I'm giving my life to you. God, I'm asking you to come into my life. Be my Lord. I surrender all my wants, my ambition. I lay it down for you. And then lastly, we're going to close that prayer with thanksgiving. God, we thank you for saving me and hearing my prayer and for the wonderful gift of Jesus. So I just want to encourage you as we end today, have open ears out this week. Begin to pray and ask God, God, give me a burden. God, let the things that touch your heart touch my heart. Break me out of my complacency. Lord, forgive me for my indifference. Lord, give me ears and eyes to see the one that's out there that I need to minister to. Amen? Let's bow our heads right now and close our eyes. You might be here today and you would say, Daniel, you talked a lot about different things today, but you were talking about heaven, you were talking about hell, you were talking about eternity. And I just begin to wonder, you know, I've never really thought about those things. In fact, I've never really made the decision to put my trust in Christ. I just thought I was a good person. I thought I had it all together. And because of that, I was going to somehow, you know, just do all right. But as you were talking today, I felt the Spirit moving on the inside of me that I need to get right. That I need to give my heart to Jesus and make him Lord over my life. And if that's you here today, I would ask you right now, make the decision. Raise your hand and let me know, because I'd like to pray with you. We're not going to call you forward. But if you're here today and you say, I've never asked Jesus into my life, I want him to come into my life. Or if you're here today and you've fallen away, you've let the fire go out. The things that move your heart don't move. It moves God's heart, don't move your heart at all. If that's you in either of those categories, just raise your hand right where you are. I want to raise it really high, because I like to look at who I'm praying with. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. This is not just raising a hand. This is people being snatched out of the grip of hell and being brought into eternal life. They're going to be in heaven. Thank you for that hand back there. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just going to wait just a second longer. Hallelujah. Thank you, everybody. You can put your hands down. Now we're going to say the same prayer that I taught you just a second ago on how you can lead your friends and family, co-workers to the Lord. Let's say it all together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I confess I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of all my sin. I believe that Jesus is your son, that he died on the cross for my sin, and he rose again on the third day. Now, God, today I commit my life to you. I surrender everything I have to you and make you my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give everyone that prayed that prayer a big hand clap this morning?
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church on the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church on the Rock and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for You. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church on the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.